Welcome to Meet the Mentors, a podcast special supported by Vodafone as part of our Business Made Simple online series.
To the layman like myself, Zipabout is a difficult business to unpack and understand. But when you speak to Alex and Dan, you can really see that there is something really special about what they have. The potential it has is huge. For the transport industry, for public transport in general, Zipabout could be a game changer.
Would you, if somebody suddenly came to you now and said, here's $10 million on the table, would you take it? Or do you really believe you can build something huge and global?
Not 10 million, no. Who knows, there may be a price, but yeah. It's a lot more than that.
As a tech company like Zipabout, it's easy for them to get stuck into the tech and all the whiz-bang data that they're dealing with. And it was really interesting to see how Lord Billimoria said, take it a step back, think about your mission statement, think about your brand, because that is what you can build your business on.
First, you have to get them to agree to stock the product. Then they've got to see for themselves that their customers love it.
Yeah.
And you get the regular repeat orders. And there's nothing better than repeat orders to give you confidence.
Yeah.
Then you just extrapolate that into a global beer brand.
So, easy. So an easy next step, yes. And what's beer got to do with Zipabout? Plenty, it would seem.
We were standing in a pub and we both wanted to know whether we had time for another pint. And it was that simple. If only there was a way that you could be told whether there was time for another pint. And at that point, we thought, well, actually, that is, in a nutshell, and I joke, but in a nutshell, it was about personalising the entire transport network around who you are, what you're doing, what's going on. And we thought, well, there's something in that.
My name's Kobe Omanaka. I'm a startup mentor and podcaster. In this podcast, I'm bringing together some of the UK's top business leaders and budding entrepreneurs for a one-on-one mentoring session. But this isn't just for them, this is for you too. We are sharing tips to help all of us do better in business. Lord Billimoria set up Cobra Beer with a friend straight out of university. Initially, it was brewed in India and imported to the UK, but now he manufactures in three countries and sells beer in 40. They found themselves a niche making a less gassy lager, the perfect drink for a curry. Like most new graduates, he was strapped for cash, but he says the key to getting started was confidence.
When you start in business, the most difficult part is actually crossing the credibility gap, because nobody knows you or your brand or your product, so why should they finance you or supply you or buy from you when you have zero credibility? And we quickly found that the way they do that is if you believe in what you're doing and you have confidence in your idea yourself.
Lord Billimoria was excited about Zipabout. He heads up the advisory board at Cambridge University's Business School, where he sees a lot of tech startups. Alex Froome and Daniel Chick set up Zipabout after they made an app for Transport for London to help get people around during the London 2012 Olympics. The app sent people on tailored routes, helping them avoid the crowds and ultimately reducing bottlenecks in the system. 3 years ago, they started to make a national version, marketing it to transport operators. I met up with Alex and Dan near King's Cross Station. They'd made an epic journey through the snow to London from Oxford, where their business is based. Guys, how's it going? Kobe.
Good to see you, Kobe. Alex.
Hi, and I'm Dan.
Nice to meet you guys. How's your trip over from... Where did you travel from today?
Oxfordshire. Snow, ice, wind, trains.
This is 2 days after the earth stood still in the UK with the first snow of the year.
Absolutely. Upwards of 3 millimetres in places. Yeah. It's been shocking.
Everything has ground to a halt.
They told me about their frustrations trying to find an investor who can help them achieve their potential.
We monitor pretty much everything we can in the UK. So we monitor the position of every train, we monitor road flow on the strategic road network, rainfall, weather conditions, train performance, I think we have the position of every train every few seconds, live bus positions, traffic cameras, and we use that to create machine learning systems that can predict delay, predict disruption, and ultimately how that affects the end user and how we can help those users navigate the entire transport network, no matter what's going on.
We're going to be talking with you guys about the next stages, so it'd be good to know where you're at as a company at the moment.
It's an exciting time for us, I think, but it's quite a confusing one for a small company. We have actually raised an angel round about a year ago. Some really good guys who understand the business and have provided a lot of sort of knowledge into it. We're worried about what's going to happen with Europe. We need to expand into Europe if we can, and we need to raise some money to help us do that. It's not about a lot of money. Actually, as a business, things are going very well. We can continue to grow organically. It's great. We're profitable. But someone who can help join up the bigger pieces of what we're doing and perhaps help us export that and how we sort of start running this in Europe would be very exciting. We've had a certain amount of interest from corporate strategic investors. Some international, some national transport operators have been interested in investing. Some of the big consultancy firms want to have a financial relationship. But the problem is they usually have a very limited view of what we're capable of. Sure. So they come in and they say, this will be brilliant, and you must never let this technology be used by our competitors, and we must never share this with anybody, which is fundamentally missing the point of what we're trying to achieve. And then there is this gap between the American VC model and the UK VC model, where I think there's more of an appetite and an understanding of the value of data, the value of audience, and the disruptive capabilities in the US. Whereas over here, we sit in front of sort of VCs who will quite happily go, this is brilliant, this aligns exactly with what I want to invest in. As soon as you've made another million or two, come and see us and we'll invest. And it's just like, well, there's this hole in the middle, which is the businesses that are growing, that are onto something, that have an audience, and they just sort of fall between the gaps.
We're going to be talking to Lord Billamoria. What kind of questions do you want to ask him, and what kind of insight do you want from him?
I'd be very interested to understand scaling is the first thing. We're in the position that all small companies, I think, get to as they grow, which is a healthy balance sheet, a healthy P&L, but cash flow problems.
What we're doing is piquing a lot of interest in the transport sector. We're seen as very exciting, disruptive. It's a very difficult balancing act to spend the time raising the profile of the business, making sure we're out there, people know about us and what we're doing, and obviously they're being able to dedicate the time to the business as well to actually develop the technology, do business development and actually push it forward.
How does it actually work? And if you could describe a typical project, or if there is a typical project.
We provide it as a subscription service. So you have access to our technology if you're a rail company, a bus operator, embed it in everything you do, and we can then provide the technology on a software as a service basis.
We aren't consumer facing like those businesses. We're the underlying tech. It encompasses the entire transport network. As far as we can tell, quite a unique approach. We're actually providing this as a service to existing transport operators.
So it is a way that they can provide a service to make their customer experience better,
yes.
To get retain their customers, get recommendations.
Absolutely.
And increase their business using your technology.
Using our technology.
Zipabout tech is gaining traction, but Lord Billamoria says it's branding that will help them clinch the big deals.
And at the moment, somebody would classify you as a B2B business.
Yes.
Yes.
But actually, you're making the consumer's experience much better. So you could be seen as the Intel inside. And if you could brand yourself as something the consumer could actually, this has got...
Zipabout inside.
Inside, whatever. Then we know that this rail company is going to give us a better service because they're powered by Zipabout.
I like that idea. That's a far neater way of explaining it than I think we usually come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Which absolutely will. Can we borrow that?
Powered by Zipabout.
Absolutely. Yeah. Zipabout inside. Yeah.
For a small fee.
Absolutely.
You see, this is where I feel that people tend to, when looking at businesses and approaching entrepreneurship, say, it's B2B, so therefore brand is not important. I think a brand is important whatever you're doing. And if you can build a brand, that's where you're building value. I couldn't afford my own brewery when we started. So I teamed up with a brewery in Bangalore in India, the biggest independent brewery in India at the time. And they offered us their brands, which we could have imported as agents. Luckily, they didn't have a brand that was suitable, and luckily, they did not have the type of product and the taste and texture that I wanted and I had in my mind. So we created the product from scratch, which was great, because it's a differentiated product. You've got a differentiated product. And the brand, because none of their brands are suitable, they said, well, do it under your own brand. And with hindsight, if I had taken one of their brands, I wouldn't be here talking to you, because our most valuable asset is the Cobra Beer brand. Yeah. So building a brand is really powerful, whether you're a B2B or B2C business.
It's very interesting what you say about brands. I think we understand that, and yet the focus has been on development or product, and it isn't really there. It's something we hang together at the last minute. There is no cohesive brand beyond the basic corporate identity.
Zipabout have some pilot projects, including one for the NHS. It's an app that will help people with dementia to travel. They've also created a free version of their software, which they're giving away to local councils. The idea is to get a critical mass of users and to build their reputation.
By doing what you're doing now, you're demonstrating what you can do. You're getting credibility by getting all these people to use it and talk about it. And that should give you the credibility to market the really profitable products. whether it's that in itself, it'll be difficult because you're already giving it away free. But can you use that credibility to get you business? And the more you can package your products in an off-the-shelf manner, if you can do it as a package that maybe needs a little bit of tweaking from one place to another and that can be scaled internationally. Mm-hmm. I mean, just imagine if you could get the Indian Railways interested, one of the biggest employers in the world and a huge...
It's quite a large network.
Rail network. And it's actually, surprisingly, very well computerized and very high-tech.
We've definitely looked actually at several projects in India.
Of course, the credibility of something doing well in the UK is a sure validation that you can make it work anywhere in the world.
Mm, interesting.
So, for example, what I would do in the early days was I made sure that all the top Indian restaurants sold Cobra first before anyone else. Then I could use that as a reference to get into the others. And of course, the distributors in the beginning, they wouldn't even talk to us. Once they saw hundreds of the top Indian restaurants in London selling the product regularly, we better start talking to them now. So it's all a question of building credibility, validating, and building your reputation, building your brand. And if in the beginning, ideally you shouldn't have to do it for free, but if that's going to help you get those big projects that you can scale.
So how can they get the support they need to scale? Lord Billimoria thinks an accelerator or incubator could be the way forward.
Being in the right environment, surrounded by other startups wanting to scale up, the help that you get from properly structured incubators and accelerators in terms of the introductions you're looking for finance. They attract investors, they attract advisors, and this is happening around the world. And same thing's happening over here. So have a look at that.
What you just described, a creative sort of environment with access to qualified and experienced professional advice, I can see has value. We have had different experiences of the approaches we've had from accelerators. We were offered one not all that long ago. Somebody said, we really want you on our accelerator. You get up to £20,000. We take a minimum of 25%. You have to work in our office in Shoreditch for 4 months. I said, no. But I think what you're describing with a more qualified environment is probably the right fit for us at the moment, actually.
Alex and Dan are looking for equity funding, and Lord Billimoria is well placed to advise them. He took on a lot of debt to grow the business fast, and in 2009 found he couldn't pay his creditors. The brand survived an administration process after Molson Coors bought more than 50% of the business.
I nearly lost my business 3 times, but we saved the business, basically, and we formed a joint venture with a big global brewing giant. That is how difficult it is, in that you get crises coming out of the blue and you can't predict them, and it's how will you survive those crises. Each of the 3 times for me was very different, but the 3 things that got me through each time were the same. One is having a strong brand. Secondly is if you can have the support of your team, and if you have family, the support of your family through crises, because it's a really tough time when you nearly lose everything. And the third thing is to do it with the right values. Because if you play with a straight bat, I believe you can get through crises.
Lord Billimoria says they should ask for as little as possible now so they don't have to give away too much of the company before it becomes valuable. But how do they get the people they're sure would be interested in investing to notice them at all?
What really helps is getting a good advisor who will help you raise the funds. So we worked very early on with Grant Thornton, who were the top accounting firms, from our very early days. And to have the fundraising with your business plan on Grant Thornton letterhead just gives it that additional credibility for people to even talk to you. That was expensive for us at the time, but it was well worth paying for, and we raised a lot of money. And without Grant Thornton, we wouldn't have got off the ground. In our case, you know, we needed working capital finance. So we would have forms of finance that probably not applicable to you. So, for example, we could use factoring and invoice discounting. Mm. However, you will have forms of angel venture capital funding that is tailored around the tech mindset, where people are used to making that judgment, quite often taking binary decisions. It's, this is going to fail or this is going to succeed. And we're going to take a bet on you guys that you're going to succeed.
But what we found in the UK is we sort of fall between probably looking for a bit more than small angel networks. And actually, the angel networks I've struggled with in the UK, quite often they're, if not retired, senior executives, people with experience who have understood their industry and are experts and want to bring some of that expertise as part of the investment. Now, what we're doing hasn't really existed before. It's immediately cold feet. In Germany, we found a different attitude, and there's some interest in the States as well, where I think there's a bit more of a tech risk approach. But in the UK at the moment, we don't need enough to go and bother probably Grant Thornton, to be honest.
You'd be surprised, actually. You would be surprised. They're all looking to back small businesses that are going to be scalable, with a view perhaps even, you know, you'd be very ideal for a strategic investor. That's another way to scale up very quickly with a big backer, and that adds lots of different dimensions.
It's interesting you should say that, because we've actually had offers of strategic investment that we've found we just haven't been able to accept.
Yeah.
So a rail company might and has offered us money, certainly enough on a rate we'd be happy with, but the deal was that we would never be allowed to work for any of their competitors, at which point the business stops growing the day you do the deal. We've had large consultancies do something very similar. So where we originally started was strategic investment, but I think, I don't know, we're probably just doing it wrong, but we've found it to be very, very restrictive, and yet we're probably not big enough to trouble a VC.
What is your end game? What would you like to do ideally? Would you ideally like to build this and sell it, or would you just like to grow it and grow it? Have you got a plan to make this? What would your mission be if I were to ask you to articulate what your mission is?
A mission.
In one line, that's quite tricky. I know we need a one-liner for that response to that.
Okay, I'll give you an example. So my mission for Cobra Beer from day one was to create the finest ever Indian beer and make it a global beer brand. As simple as that. And even today, it is my mission to do that. And I can measure my progress on that journey at any time. Am I the finest ever Indian beer? Absolutely.
Of course.
But I've got
course,
to keep being that. Yeah, we won 94 gold medals. And we're entering now for next year. We might cross 100. So, you know, I can keep measuring that. Global beer brand, manufactured in 3 countries, exported to 40 countries, nowhere near. But we can measure the progress. So I think having that mission and goal. And then linked to that is, I look back on it, in the early days, we were offered money to just sell out. Because your competitors initially, and you don't have direct competitors because you're doing something so unique. In our case, we're up against giants. Mm. So the competitors initially, it's like the old Mahatma Gandhi saying, first they ignore you, then they attack you, then they accept you. You know, and they ignored us, and then they attacked us. And part of the attack was, oh, well, let's just pay these young guys something and they'll go away.
Squash it, sort of thing.
And, you know, you look back at the famous stories of Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. At one stage, from memory, if he'd been offered $10 million by IBM, he would have probably sold out. Would you, if somebody suddenly came to you now and said, here's $10 million on the table, would you take it? Or do you really believe you can build something huge and global?
Not $10 million. No. Who knows? There may be a price, but it's a lot more than that. I think one-liner then, I think we'd probably say something like, we want to power mobility as a service in whatever form it takes globally. Something like that?
Yeah, I would agree with that mission statement. We're looking to grow this as big as we can. But it's always better to have a small part of a large thing than try and retain full ownership of something that's very small. So we're very focused on partnering up with the right organisations that can actually help us grow it to a size where it's international, really improving the lives of people when they're using transport networks and just generally improving the service.
Based on what you're saying there, I think you need to give your mission statements some more thought.
I think I would agree with you.
Because listening to what you've been saying, I think it's more than powering transport networks. It's actually improving individual customers' experiences, basically making people's lives better through this experience. And that is altruistic. People will be willing to pay for it, but they're happier, better customers. But I really think the global application of this is terrific. And from what I've heard, I think you have a genuinely distinctive product. I think you believe in it, and you've now got to just do it.
Be very, very persistent.
You never give up.
Lord Billamoria's lessons are clear. Even if you're a high-tech company selling to other businesses, branding is vital. It's what gives potential clients and investors confidence to take a chance on you. Target the influencers first. If you can sell to them, they'll do your marketing for you. Everyone else will follow. Don't be shy. Even if you're a small startup with a great idea, big investors may well be interested. Lastly, don't sell yourself short. Be careful about taking too much investment early on. You could end up giving away more than you really want to. Raise just enough money to keep your company growing at each stage.
Meet the Mentors is supported by Vodafone as part of our Business Made Simple series. For more great advice, search Business Made Simple on theguardian.com. This was a Chalk and Blade production for The Guardian.